how the deconstruction of the Boy Scouts is a microcosm of the devolution of America. That is a topic we'll discuss today on the Christian Worldview radio program, where the mission is to sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm David Wheaton, the host. Christian Worldview is a nonprofit, listener-supported radio ministry. Thank you for your notes of encouragement, your financial support, and lifting us up in prayer. Our website is thechristianworldview.org, and all our contact information and social media pages will be given during the program today. As of the day of the release of this broadcast, which is May 18th, the Overcomer course for young adults is now just 5 weeks away on Friday, Saturday, June 21st and 22nd. There are about a dozen spots remaining. Even if you're not from our area in Minnesota or the upper Midwest, if you are an 18 to 28-year-old or know of someone that age, we would invite you and encourage you to come to Minnesota. It's easy to fly into Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport. Stonehouse Farm, where the course is being held, is located just about 45 minutes from the airport. There's inexpensive lodging nearby. You could arrive Thursday evening. The course is on Friday and Saturday, and we'd love to have you come to church with us on Sunday, and you could fly back home Sunday afternoon. This is an in-person only course. It won't be streaming online. The purpose of this course is to help young adults gain clarity and conviction on God's plan and their purpose in it. So for instance, in the first day, first session in the morning, believing God in the gospel is the gateway to being an overcomer. That's a very important session to kick things off because it sets up for all the rest of the sessions. Session two, handling God's word accurately is the basis for wise thinking and living. That's on scripture. Session three, understanding God's plan and purpose brings stability, joy, and hope. That's understanding God's meta-narrative of history. Session four, first day, pursuing God's means to grow in the faith and share it with others. That's about sanctification and discipleship. And then the second day, we have sessions on gender, sexuality, singleness, and marriage, on stewarding God's design for time, work, and money, on engaging God's design in the local church, and employing God's weapons to overcome the world. This is something we are very much looking forward to and are excited about, the potential for impact in our lives and those who come to the course. So if you need more information, go to our website, thechristianworldview.org/overcomercourse, or just give us a call toll-free, 1-888-646-2233. Again, only about 12 spots remaining. So if you know an 18 to 28-year-old during that highly transitional time in life, or perhaps just mention the course to your pastor at your church, maybe they know of some young adults who would be benefited by coming to this course, just tell them about our website, thechristianworldview.org/overcomercourse, or give us a call. Now to our topic, how the deconstruction of the Boy Scouts is a microcosm of the devolution of America. The deconstruction of the organization formerly known as the Boy Scouts, now it's called the genderless term Scouting America, is a microcosm. And that word microcosm, the dictionary defines as a situation regarded as encapsulating in miniature the characteristic qualities or features of something much larger. In other words, what's taken place in the Boy Scouts represents what's happened more broadly throughout American society. And just exactly what is that? Well, it's a headlong descent into depravity straight out of Romans chapter 1. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, Romans 1 says, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, and evil. Robert Knight, Washington Times columnist and our guest this weekend, writes in his latest column titled, Scouts Pay Dearly for Wokeness, but Double Down Anyway. Here's what he says, quote, more than 80,000 men claim that they were sexually abused when they were in the Boy Scouts. And this past March, agreed to a $2.4 billion settlement to pay thousands of claims, unquote. The sane response to this horrific abuse would be to greatly strengthen protocol for a scout leader's interaction with boys, right? Well, instead, what does the Boy Scouts do? They approved homosexual men to be leaders of boys. That's called a depraved mind that comes to decisions like that. The Boy Scouts were once a respected organization that trained boys to be men in character, in skills, in service. The Scout Oath was and still is, but now in lip service only, quote, "On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country and to obey the Scout law, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight," unquote. Moral straightness, according to Scripture, is certainly not a mission of the Boy Scouts any longer. So what went wrong with the Boy Scouts that has gone wrong in broader American society? And how can the church and Christian organizations avoid being lured into this kind of deconstruction? As mentioned, Robert Knight joins us. He's a former Eagle Scout himself. He explains the sinful compromises that have turned this once respected organization into a cautionary tale of the evils of the woke religion that has taken captive so many minds in this country. Robert, thank you for coming on the Christian Worldview radio program today. Could you give an overview of what's happened with the Boy Scouts for those listeners who may not be aware of all that's taken place within that organization and why this is a significant issue, not just for the Boy Scouts, but for the broader trajectory of America?
First, I'll tell you what prompted the column. The Scouts recently decided to change their name once again. They've done it several times to try to be more and more inclusive. On February 8th, next year, 2025, they will get rid of the word boy in Boy Scouts, and they'll just be Scouting America. The more inclusive they get, the fewer Scouts they have. They just keep losing Scouts. They had 5 million in 1972. It's now down to under a million boys, just over a million Scouts total, but nearly 200,000 of those are girls and women. This trying to accommodate the rapidly changing culture has not worked. It has not helped the Scouts. The more they back up and retreat, the more they lose people. I trace a lot of this to the board of the Boy Scouts, which is dominated by people from big corporations who have gone woke and have been woke for a long time. They kind of put a gun to the Scouts' heads and said, you know, if you don't change with the times, you're probably not going to get the funding you're accustomed to. Don't count on us anymore. And we're talking about some very big names. They were instrumental in pushing the Scouts farther and farther into political correctness. The ultimate push was 2013 when they caved after winning all their court lawsuits against changing their policy against having homosexuals in the Scouts. They won at the Supreme Court. And then they turned around and said, well, never mind. We're going to go ahead and open the Scouts to boys who are sexually attracted to boys. We don't see any problem here. Well, a lot of parents have seen a problem there, and that's why the Scouts keep shrinking. 2 years later, they said, well, we're going to allow Scout leaders to be gay. And then a couple of years after that, we're going to let girls in. And then they dropped the whole trans barring to adopt gender identity. I mean, they've really gone totally woke. And it's no wonder that parents aren't sending their boys into Boy Scouting anymore. This is a tragedy for America. Scouts have been around 100 years, and Scouts molded many millions of men into becoming better men, better fathers, better husbands, better citizens. And Scouts have always been a pipeline to the U.S. Armed Forces. After all, it's sort of a semi-military getup with the uniforms and patrols. And, you know, there are military aspects that kind of prepare boys to serve in any way they can their country. And we've lost a lot of that. People seem much less willing to serve. And you can see it in the recruitment statistics. The Army, the Navy, even the Marines, all of them are having terrible problems recruiting people into the armed forces now. They're down like 20%. And I think part of it is the changing culture. Part of it is the fact that the military has, like the Boy Scouts, gone woke and adopted some of the worst aspects of DEI. diversity, equity, and inclusion, which is basically brainwashing, into a Marxist view of identity group identification. But back to the Scouts' original mission was to impart virtue to boys and try to put them on a straight path. The people who formed the Scouts saw this in modern culture, and they said, you know, we got to have an antidote. We have to have boys finding strength and clarity in virtue and wanting to pursue that and being rewarded for it with badges and ranks and so forth. And it worked very well. I mean, after all, we only had about a little over 200 million people back in 72, and we had 5 million Boy Scouts. By then, the 60s insanity that your mother spoke about in her Mother's Day message on your program had taken hold, and the culture was careening toward hedonism and away from traditional values. And the Scouts were kind of in the way, so they got run over. That would be bad enough, but then when they started doing it to themselves, and I saw it up close because I was in touch with the Scout resistance when I worked at Family Research Council, and we were trying to hold the line. I did a lot of interviews on CNN and Fox and defending the Boy Scouts and their policy. And then they cut the floor out from under everybody by giving in. We were shocked and amazed and just disgusted by the whole thing. When they caved to adult leaders being gay, it was the same year that the U.S. Supreme Court did away with marriage as the union of one man and one woman and adopted same-sex marriage as a heretofore unknown constitutional right. So a lot happened in 2015.
Yeah, you just give a very good overview of what took place. And we have Robert Knight's column. He's our guest today here on the Christian Worldviews. We're talking about the deconstruction of the Boy Scouts, but how it's a small example of what's happening or what's happened more broadly in our society. You gave this overview, and I want to go into each one of these points you bring out in your column as to what's happened, because it's a lesson for the church, and it's a lesson for Christian institutions to not go down this same road. You talked about cultural pressure, and I'll get into these in a second, the sexual abuse, the integrating of homosexuals as scouts and also as leaders. The gender distinction was rejected within the scouts. So let's go through these one by one, because I think that each of them are important to understand. You mentioned, Robert, that in 1972, and I'm reading from your column, the U.S. had a population of just over 205 million, and nearly 5 million boys were in the Boy Scouts of America at that time. Now, fast forward to this year, the population of the U.S. is at 336 million, and enrollment in the Boy Scouts has plummeted to just over 1 million, and you said 175,000 are girls and young women. So it's gone from 5 million to about 1 million. Then you said, what happened between 1972 and 2024? And you mentioned several things. Let's start first with the one that was the cultural pressure. You write that America's culture changed for the worse during this time, devolving into nihilism, paganism, self-centeredness, and excess. The Scouts, with their timeless values, you write, were increasingly portrayed as hopelessly retro, behind the times, the wrong side of history, those kinds of things. What was the rationale or reasoning they had for starting to compromise on some of the original, quote-unquote, timeless values that they had?
Well, they held on for a long time, David, when this started happening to the larger culture. They defended their standards in court cases all over the country. The ACLU was always on their case. Other organizations were trying to break them. Atheist groups even sued them, saying, oh, they're discriminatory because they have God in the Scout Oath. And this means they probably won't welcome atheist children. Actually, the Scouts did. They just said, look, these are our values. They were pretty solid right up till 2012, really. At that time, corporate America was going the wrong way. Large corporations like AT&T were pushing the whole LGBTQ agenda. And the corporate chieftains, UPS, AT&T, several others, their corporate chieftains came on the Scouts board and started pushing for opening up the Scouts to this sort of cultural breakdown. And they pushed so hard that scouts began to fear that they'd lose funding. You know, United Way cut them off in many places, saying, oh, you're discriminatory because you just have boys, not girls. You're discriminatory because you won't have gay leaders. They did just the wrong thing after being hit in the face with their sex abuse lawsuits, thousands of them. They did the opposite of what they should have done. They should have said, you know, this is why we bar men and boys who are sexually attracted to males from scouting. This is the kind of thing that can happen. We're going bankrupt because we've let in people who are active that way, and people are suing us over it. So what do? They say, oh, we're going to lift the policy completely and let them all in. Like, that's going to help? All it did was scare the heck out of parents. They said, I can't have my boy going overnight on camping trips with leaders who may or may not be gay, and other boys in their tent who may or may not be gay. This is too much. In the name of compassion for gays, we're going to go ahead and encourage the very behavior that's hurting them. You know, this is so opposite Christian compassion. And too many Christians still fall into this trap that if I don't go along with it, I'll be some kind of bigot and hateful, and I won't be able to witness Jesus Christ to them. Well, Jesus spoke truth in love. He never withheld truth just to make somebody feel better. And I think that's the model we should follow. Love the sinner, hate the sin, and be truthful about it. Tell truth in love. That's the way to go.
Robert Knight is our guest today here on the Christian Worldview, a columnist for the Washington Times. We have his excellent column this week linked at our website, thechristianworldview.org. Scouts pay dearly for wokeness, but they double down anyway. And we're talking about how the Scouts, the Boy Scouts, it is a microcosm of the attack that's gone on to the devolution inside our country. All right, we'll pause briefly to tell you about some ministry resources, but much more coming up, including how the church and Christian organizations can avoid this kind of deconstruction. I'm David Wheaton, and you are listening to the Christian Worldview radio program. The Overcomer course for young adults is fast approaching on Friday, Saturday, June 21st and 22nd at Stonehouse Farm in Jordan, Minnesota, just outside the Minneapolis metro area. Age 18 to 28 is a highly transitional time of life. The Overcomer course is designed to help young adults gain clarity and conviction on God's plan and their purpose in it. There will be 8 sessions over 2 days on the most important issues of life, such as believing God in the gospel is the gateway to being an overcomer, handling God's word accurately, embracing God's design for gender, sexuality, singleness, and marriage, stewarding God's design for time, work, and money, engaging in the local church, and more. There will be teaching and discussion, activities between sessions, and meals served on site. Reasonably priced lodging is nearby. We hope to see you June 21st and 22nd. Limited space remaining, so learn more and register at thechristianworldview.org or by calling 1-888-646-2233. Christians with discernment know that the U.S. public education system is humanistic to the core. That is because subversives have successfully removed from government schools the most important subject to understand truth and reality, God. While Americans were once educated at home or privately in an explicitly Christian way, today government schools are radically anti-Christian, propagandizing children with evolution, graphic sexual content, gender confusion, and globalism. Alex Newman's book, Indoctrinating Our Children to Death, is our new featured resource. It's soft cover, 276 pages, and retails for $17.99. You can order the book for a donation of any amount to the Christian Worldview. Go to thechristianworldview.org, call toll-free 1-888-646-2233, or write to Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota, 55331. Welcome back to The Christian Worldview. I'm David Wheaton. Be sure to visit our website, thechristianworldview.org, where you can subscribe to our free weekly email and annual print letter, order resources for adults and children, and support the ministry. Our topic today is how the deconstruction of the Boy Scouts is a microcosm of the devolution of America. Robert Knight is our guest. He's a columnist for The Washington Times, who just wrote a column on Scouts Pay Dearly for Wokeness, but double down anyway. That is linked at our website, thechristianworldview.org. Now, Robert, we've talked about the first pillar there. What caved first was that they had cultural pressure against them. ACLU, atheist groups attacked them. People coming on their board from, you know, big-time corporate organizations. The language was put against them. You're discriminatory. You're homophobic. You're bigoted. So they started to cave to that. Then came allegations of sexual abuse. And I'm reading from your column, more than 80,000 men claim they were sexually abused when they were in the Boy Scouts, and the national organization declared bankruptcy because of this in 2020. And this past March, so March of 2024, I believe it is, they agreed to a $2.4 billion settlement to pay thousands of claims of sexual abuse. Even before homosexuality became as prominent as it was, there were still lots of homosexuality going on. And the Boy Scouts would be a complete magnet for homosexuals. A lot of groups of boys together, sleepovers, this kind of thing. You can just imagine that they were targeted by the perverse. Was it really this widespread, this amount of sexual abuse? What was going on that was allowing this to happen?
Well, that's a very good question. The people at the top of the Scouts must have known they had some problems. But you have to look at this in the whole big picture. I mean, there were millions of boys in the Scouts who didn't report abuse. 80,000 sounds like a lot, but that's over a long period of time. A lot of these cases go way back to the 70s, 80s. I think the Scouts were somehow compromised. I think they're afraid that if they made too big a deal out of it, it would invite these kinds of lawsuits. So putting their head in the sand didn't help, obviously. This is very similar to what happened to the Catholic Church. There are a lot of priests who happen to be homosexual. Books have been written about this. The Pink Palace was one of them, about how the seminaries were kind of taken over. Some of them, not all seminaries, but some prominent seminaries where homosexuality became rampant. And the church tried to look the other way, and then they got hit with millions and millions of dollars of lawsuits by people who have been abused by priests. This shows that if you look away and pretend something isn't happening, it'll always get worse. Now you have forces in our society, ACLU among them, telling both the Scouts and the church, you really ought to drop all opposition to homosexuality. You know, just let it all happen and we'll leave you alone. Of course, that won't be the case. They're never satisfied. Every time you give in, you just encourage them to bully you some more. The churches have to stand up to this bullying. The church is the conscience of society. They're not just one other institution that kind of compromises and makes deals. They have to stand up and be the conscience. And the churches that are standing up and being the conscience are the ones that are growing. And the ones that are giving in to the popular cultural trends are the ones declining. That's good news.
You know, it's interesting you say this about how this took place, this sexual abuse within the Boy Scouts. For instance, at our own local church here, where I am a member here in Minnesota, they have a very strict policy. If you're going to be a Sunday school teacher, you have to go through a class. There are really strict protocols in place. Doors can't be shut to rooms. There must be two adults in the room at all times. Lots of different levels of accountability and transparency have to take place. So I'm assuming that the Boy Scouts either didn't have these kinds of policies or perhaps wasn't enforcing them well enough for that kind of widespread. And again, you're right, there's 5 million Scouts at one time, there's 80,000 men, so that's a small, it's under 2%. But still, you want to do everything you can to make sure you are having strict protocols that this doesn't take place, because it's just a reality that it will. There are men out there that will try to target children, and the Boy Scouts would be a magnet for that. Let's move on to the next issue, though. You mentioned, Robert, was homosexuals being integrated into the Scouts, not just from Scouts boys themselves, but for leadership. They had won every court challenge to their morally responsible policy that barred homosexuals from being inside the Scouts, an all-boy organization. The Scout leadership caved anyway and opened the ranks to boys sexually attracted to other boys. 2 years later, they welcomed homosexual men to be leaders. you touched on this already, but after widespread allegations and actually proved allegations of abuse of homosexuals toward boys, to have a policy of allowing more in, it's hard to even figure out that that's backward reasoning to do that. Instead of stiffening up policies, they lessened them. Why would they do that?
Well, they were under great pressure. Follow the money. You had United Way picking on them. You had the ACLU filing lawsuits. You had corporate bigwigs on the Scout board basically threatening them with withholding funds if they didn't go the way they wanted. There's a lot of corruption in our elite institutions, from colleges to major corporations. A lot of moral degradation going on. And they got a hold of the Scouts and did the same thing to them. You know, it isn't just leaders. If you think about scouting, when Scouts go out and they tent together and so forth, when I was a Boy Scout, we had one kid who was attracted to boys. And I remember he made a move on some guys, and they brought it to the Scoutmaster, who immediately called the boy's parents and said, well, he can't be here with us. This is causing disruption, and it's threatening the other boys, and we just can't have it. So he had to leave the troop for the good of the troop. Now you couldn't do that. Say he made a move on a boy he was tenting with. What would you do if you stepped in and said, sorry, kid, we love you, but you can't be here? That won't be good enough. You have to accommodate that kind of thing somehow. This is why the Scouts are down to under a million. Why would you put your boys in that situation? Yeah.
You can't make basically a moral, objective truth claim. You can't say no to someone or some moral behavior. And that just completely got them in trouble.
And by the way, that's one reason we keep losing the culture wars, David. I've noticed that people ostensibly on our side, the conservative side, tend to make procedural arguments instead of moral arguments. A good case would be saying that, well, we're against this policy because it violates some procedural method, rather than, hey, it's wrong. G.K. Chesterton, the great British writer, said that it's amazing the lengths to which modern man will go to justify something in any terms except morality. If you have a grandmother who gets mugged in Battersea Park in London, this is how they'd cover it. They'd say, oh, well, this is a terrible waste of good grandmothers. This kind of thing will hurt attendance and so forth. Anything but saying it's wrong to mug grandma. There's a reluctance in our culture to make any moral delineations because those morals go back to God. That's what it really is. It's a revolt against God and God's morality. Morality doesn't come from anywhere else. You're either following God's morality or you're making up your own, which means you're being immoral or amoral at best.
Robert Knight with us today on The Christian Worldview. We're talking about the Boy Scouts, how it's a microcosm of the downward decline in America. We've talked about, Robert, cultural pressure on them, the sexual abuse that was taking place, and then homosexuals being integrated into leadership and actually the boys as well. Let's touch on one more thing that's happened more recently is gender distinction has been rejected within the Boy Scouts. And again, lessons here for the church in this country, even the evangelical church, Christian institutions, schools, organizations here, listen to what took place in this pattern because it's coming after you as well. You write, in 2018, the Boy Scouts shucked the foundational concept of Boy Scouting, which is that it's about boys. Girls were invited to join Cub Packs, and then a year later, they were invited to join Scout Troops. The Boy Scouts of America kept evolving, becoming not Boy Scouts anymore, but Scouts BSA, like Boy Scouts of America, but taking the boy out of it in 2019, keeping at least a vestige of the organization's heritage. Then this past week, you write, they decided on another change. On February 8th, 2025, on the Scouts' 115th anniversary, they will dispense with the word boy aspect altogether and be known as Scouting America to be more, quote, inclusive. And then the final sentence here you write is, drag queen campfire hour is now quite thinkable in some, not all areas of the country. you don't just mean that in jest, that's a logical thing that's going to come next, for sure, within the Boy Scouts. Robert, what is it about sexual rebellion, like homosexuality, and gender rebellion against God's moral design that are always the issues that attack an organization with traditional conservative or Christian values?
Well, it's the easiest point of attack, because once you redefine biblical morality as a form of bigotry that's actionable under the law, you can misuse the civil rights laws and the whole civil rights apparatus, and you get the media behind you, and you can put enormous pressure on organizations to bend their morality around the way you want it to be. And that's what's happened. I talked to a gay activist years ago, Hai Feldblum, who President Obama appointed to the Office of Economic Opportunity as a commissioner. And she was debating the issue at a forum. And I said afterwards, I said, you know, with everything you are striving toward, it sounds like Christianity is going to become illegal, basically. And she grinned and looked at me and said, well, gays win, Christians lose. What could be clearer? There's no middle ground here. If you do accept the new morality, then that basically criminalizes the old morality, which is actual real morality, God's morality. And that's what we keep seeing. And this is what I've often said, David, that the eventual aim of the LGBTQ movement, and there's nothing else like it in America, is to criminalize Christianity, because it keeps reminding them what they're doing is wrong. And they especially hate people who have come out of the lifestyle. Ex-gays, they're the most invisible people on the planet. They won't admit they exist. They say, oh, no, you're not really ex-gay. You're just pretending. And, of course, what about people who drifted into the lifestyle? I would say, no, they've been fooled. They're looking for love in all the wrong places. There's always hope for change. But the censorious left-wing media and the LGBTQ movement are crushing free speech, freedom of religion, and putting a lot of people at risk just to force their point of view on everybody. People say, well, why can't you just be tolerant, you know, live and let live? Well, they're not interested in that anymore. They're saying you will not only facilitate what we do, but you'll celebrate it. And if you don't, we will penalize you somehow. Look at the pressure on professional sports. I mean, they all have gay day now. The worst was the Dodgers last year, who had drag queens appear, the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, completely anti-Christian group, mocks Catholics in particular, and they honored them at Dodger Stadium. This shows how intimidated organizations have become who know better. They know that most baseball fans don't appreciate that, but they went ahead anyway. They're more afraid of this tiny sliver of the population because they have a big, huge thug behind them with a bat called the mainstream media.
Yeah, they do. And I think what they're also fearful of is they don't want negative publicity from the press, as you just mentioned. No one wants to be called bigoted or a discriminator. So they invite the Perpetual Sisters of Indulgence or whatever this godless group is called. And they're also counting on the vast majority of people just to sort of overlook it. And I don't like that, but you do what you want to do. I want to still go to the baseball game. I think there's a big, huge, silent group out there that just doesn't maybe agree with it or doesn't even have aware of it. They don't see how allowing this immorality in is going to affect just the broader society as a whole. Robert Knight is with us today here on The Christian Worldview. We'll pause briefly to tell you about some ministry resources, but stay tuned. We have more coming up, including a question about election integrity, which Robert Knight wrote a book about. I'm David Wheaton, and you are listening to The Christian Worldview radio program. Christians with discernment know that the U.S. public education system is humanistic to the core. That is because subversives have successfully removed from government schools the most important subject to understand truth and reality, God. While Americans were once educated at home or privately in an explicitly Christian way, today government schools are radically anti-Christian, propagandizing children with evolution, graphic sexual content, gender confusion, and globalism. Alex Newman's book, Indoctrinating Our Children to Death, is our new featured resource. It's softcover, 276 pages, and retails for $17.99. You can order the book for a donation of any amount to The Christian Worldview. Go to thechristianworldview.org, call toll-free 1-888-646-2233, or write to Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331. The Overcomer course for young adults is fast approaching on Friday, Saturday, June 21st and 22nd at Stonehouse Farm in Jordan, Minnesota, just outside the Minneapolis metro area. Age 18 to 28 is a highly transitional time of life. The Overcomer course is designed to help young adults gain clarity and conviction on God's plan and their purpose in it. There will be 8 sessions over 2 days on the most important issues of life, such as believing God in the gospel is the gateway to being an overcomer, handling God's word accurately, embracing God's design for gender, sexuality, singleness, and marriage, stewarding God's design for time, work, and money, engaging in the local church, and more. There will be teaching and discussion, activities between sessions, and meals served on site. Reasonably priced lodging is nearby. We hope to see you June 21st and 22nd. Limited space remaining, so learn more and register at thechristianworldview.org or by calling 1-888-646-2233. Welcome back to The Christian Worldview. I'm David Wheaton. Be sure to visit our website, thechristianworldview.org, where you can subscribe to our free weekly email and annual print letter, order resources for adults and children, and support the ministry. Our topic today is how the deconstruction of the Boy Scouts is a microcosm of the devolution of America. Robert Knight is our guest. He's a columnist for The Washington Times, who just wrote a column on Scouts Pay Dearly for Wokeness, but Double Down Anyway, that is linked at our website, thechristianworldview.org. Robert, just one more question about the Scouts. You get toward the end of the column and you say, if you want to drive a nation to its knees, and this has to do with, again, how the Boy Scouts are a microcosm of what's taking place in America. If you want to drive a nation to its knees, you must weaken or eliminate manly men, regardless of how many capable women you have. That begins with corrupting male youths and denying them support for realizing their masculine role in society as husbands, fathers, and patriots. Somewhere, somehow, these despots are giving a pat on the head to the late Hugh Hefner of Playboy magazine, I think it was, the ACLU, George Soros, and others that helped birth America's cultural suicide. The answer to all this is a full-scale resistance to the forces that seek to fundamentally transform America into a Marxist version of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's well said, Robert. And what is the lesson here from the Boy Scouts, as we've been referencing how the church and Christian institutions are next targeted or being now targeted? Now, the Boy Scouts may have been kind of broadly Christian in a way, having some Christian values, but they weren't distinctively Christians like churches and Christian institutions. What should the church and Christian organizations be learning from the Boy Scouts to resist this kind of thing?
Well, I think they could have learned it from Neville Chamberlain, who thought he bought peace in his time with Adolf Hitler through appeasement. Appeasement doesn't work. It only tells a bully that they can take the next step. And I think churches have to realize this, that if they give in at all, they're sowing the seeds of their own destruction. Look at the United Methodist Church. It's splitting wide open because the majority of delegates at the recent convention said, yeah, let's have gay priests. Let's marry same-sex couples. In other words, let's give up on what the Bible says and adopt society's cultural values. This is destroying the Methodist Church. And any institution that doesn't stand firm in its actual principles and starts being co-opted will be destroyed. Now, the good news, and I said that people have to resist this, one way is to support institutions that are standing up. And we've got the American Heritage Girls, who are replacing the woke Girl Scouts of America. And we could get into that, David, if you have a minute. And then Trail Life USA, it's a wonderful organization. It's based on scouting, but it's completely Christian focused. They still have camping, skills, badges, the whole scouting experience, plus affirmations of Christian faith. It's a wonderful organization. They've got 1,000 troops now already, and they were just formed in 2014. So people are eager to support groups that back their most deeply held values. And we've got the American Heritage Girls and on the girl side and the Trail Life USA on the boys side. And as far as the Girl Scouts, they went woke a long time ago. They invited the Planned Parenthood director to speak at their national convention. They kept editing their materials to make them more and more feminist and more critical of homemaking, mocking women who choose to stay home and raise their children. That organization went woke a long time ago. And this is not to disparage all the good women who are troop leaders today and are doing their best to get the best out of Girl Scouting. Okay, it's the same thing with Boy Scouts. I happen to know some guys who just got their Eagle badges, and they're anything but woke. They're trying to ignore all the nonsense at the top of the organization and just go on with scouting as it is. I don't know how much longer good people can do this, be in either of those organizations. I know that more people are leaving and going into the ones that you won't have to worry anymore about being woke, which is Trail Life USA for boys and American Heritage Girls for girls.
Very well. Robert, thank you for writing this column and for bringing out this downward cascade of events and poor compromise decisions that the Boy Scouts and, of course, the Girl Scouts have made. Let's just, in the last minutes we have with you, I want to transition over to another topic. You've written a book entitled Crooked, What Really Happened in the 2020 Election and How to Stop the Fraud. And as we are now in another election year in 2024, 4 years later here, with all the allegations and really evidence, in my view, of things that weren't on the up and up in the 2020 election. Heading into this election, you know, I hear people on Fox News are being very positive about Trump winning, and I'm not so sure about any of that, because was it Lenin or Stalin who said it's not how many votes you get, it's who counts the votes? That's a paraphrase of it, I think. What's being done now to ensure that this election is not going to be fraudulent in some way?
Well, saying there was no widespread fraud in 2020 is like saying that COVID-19 emerged organically from some bat sold in a wet market in Wuhan, China, right near the facility that was doing gain-of-function research on COVID viruses. I mean, come on. Who buys that? If you look at the preponderance of evidence, the election was rigged by the social media, the censorship that went on, the suppression of the Hunter Biden laptop, which would have given the election to Donald Trump. Trump won 18 of 19 bellwether counties. You don't lose the whole election when you win the ones that always determine the winner. Call me an election denier all you want. I'll say, yeah, you're right, I am. And we still have problems, but a lot of states have moved to tighten election rules. They're reducing early voting, which is good. It really shouldn't be a months-long process. It also should be accompanied by verified signatures. The mass mailing of ballots that are not requested should end. That's just a recipe for vote fraud. Ballot harvesting has been outlawed in a number of places, and that's when a third party can pick up your ballot and say, well, don't worry, I'll turn this in. Obvious realm for abuse. I think a lot of people are looking at these voting machines and realizing that, yeah, they can be compromised. And the problem is the media, because every time you even raise questions, they scream baseless, false, falsehoods, election denier. They've got a whole list of epithets to throw at you instead of looking at the evidence. Courts didn't look at the evidence that the Trump team brought forward of vote fraud allegations. There were countless affidavits of sworn witnesses who said they saw the vote fraud going on. That didn't matter. This time, what I'm hoping for, David, is that there'll be such a tsunami of support against the current regime, which is destroying America from what I see in every way possible. Our energy sources, wide open border, the terrible foreign policy, the inflation. I mean, everything they touch is wrecking America. I don't see how they can control that much vote fraud to set aside a major tide. I think this is not 2022 when we were surprised there wasn't a big red tide, even after 2 years of the Biden administration. But now 4 years, people are hurting. Businesses are still closing. Now he's trying to force everybody into electric cars. You know, the EPA keeps issuing emissions requirements that will put gas-powered cars out of business by 2035. And what are we supposed to do? Have millions of cars that plug into a grid that's being compromised because he's shutting down all the coal and gas-powered plants. You know, windmills and solar panels are not going to fuel all these millions of cars we're supposed to be buying that nobody wants. And you're in Minnesota, right?
I am.
These batteries have very little capacity when you get down to freezing, and then they lose something like 80% of capacity at zero. And that's not an unheard of temperature in your realm.
Not at all.
Yeah. I mean, why would you send your wife out in an electric car on a day when it's 5 below? Now, you can't have this. We've got to stop this. The only thing that's going to stop it is if people get involved in the election. People ought to be volunteering to be poll workers, not just poll watchers, but poll workers, because then you have something to do with the transmission of the ballots, and you can see what's going on, and you get paid. And a lot of people say it's fun. I've got some relatives who have been doing it for the last couple of years, and they really like it. But one of them told me she was alarmed at how easy it would be to commit vote fraud if she had wanted to. How the chain of custody of ballots is so loose that anybody could really do it. So the more eyes we have, the better, of people who are looking to keep things on the up and up. So it's a combination of things, David. More people have to get involved. More Christians have to vote. Goodness, if 5% more Christians voted, we could turn this country around. Millions of people sit on their hands saying, what's the use? Jesus is coming back anyway. They don't know when he's coming back. And we're told we're supposed to fight evil, not accede to it, and waiting for Jesus. That's not biblical at all. So I would encourage people to get involved somehow in any way you can and try to push back this darkness. And the political world is part of it. I'm sorry that elections are so consequential. They shouldn't be. Our government shouldn't be so big and huge and powerful that we're terrified of it. But we've gotten to that point. They've been throwing their weight around, and the only counterweight is the people.
Robert, we appreciate all you do to stand up for Christian values, even conservative values within our society. And thank you for this book on the election fraud. This is so critical because you really don't have a country represented by people and representatives if someone else behind the scenes is determining who our leaders are. So thank you again for coming on the Christian Worldview. As always, all of God's best and grace to you.
Yeah, and thank you, David, for having this great forum. I mean, you do a wonderful job. And I sure did enjoy listening to your mom on the Mother's Day broadcast. Yeah,
she's the best. So grateful for
her. She's amazing.
All right. We hope you gained from listening to the interview with Robert Knight today of the Washington Times. We have links to his website, his article that we discussed today, Scouts Pay Dearly for Wokeness, but Double Down Anyway, and also his book called Crooked, What Really Happened in the 2020 Election and How to Stop the Fraud. That's all at our website, thechristianworldview.org. Now, just a few follow-up thoughts on this topic today. People lead organizations. An organization may have a mission statement, vision, core values, but those are only as immutable or unchanging as the leaders who are interpreting them are unchanging. Leaders are just people. They are influenced by the same influences as everyone else, the educational system, the media, the entertainment industry, what church they go to. If leaders don't have hills that they are willing to die on, or if they are always trying to find a third way, they will compromise and organizations will weaken. Leaders must be willing to lose the entire organization on top priority principles. This is a spiritual battle. Satan tries to destroy anything good. The problem is the Boy Scouts don't focus on regeneration of the heart. And so therefore, what they are trying to do is moral goodness as defined by them in human strength, and that's bound to fail. So they may have the Scout oath and the Scout law, but that's just like a church having a seemingly sound doctrinal statement. For instance, can you guess whose church these statements of faith come from? God, who is one, is revealed in three distinct persons. Well, that's true. We believe in the mystery of salvation through Jesus Christ. God became human in Jesus, whose life, death, and resurrection demonstrate God's redeeming love. More than that, but that is true. Number three, we believe the Bible is the primary authority for our faith and practice. Which church would present these as their doctrinal beliefs? That would be the United Methodist Church, the denomination that just recently approved homosexual clergy and homosexual marriage. But here is actually what they believe from their recent annual meeting.
GCOSRO has the responsibility for monitoring for gender inclusion.
And GCOR has the responsibility of monitoring racial inclusion through our institutional equity lens.
The church, we continue to follow a pattern on the speakers from the floor. Men, 61.3%, female, 33.9%, and non-binary, 4.8%. Let's consider that a challenge and not make it a pattern.
When you are a speaker, state your name and your conference, your status as lay clergy, and if you feel comfortable, provide your racial, ethnic, tribal, and gender identity.
Becca Gorell, clergy, New England Annual Conference, she, her, hers, queer, white, adult.
This is what it sounded like at the United Methodist Church annual meeting. We didn't put that circus music under those sound bites. It just came like that when we downloaded it. They may seemingly have a few correct doctrinal statements, but in reality, it's very different. So for churches and Christian institutions, there needs to be top emphasis on regenerate leadership who are members of a sound local church who are elder qualified in character and are fully committed to accurately handling the word of truth, no matter what. Otherwise, there'll be drift. Thank you for joining us today on the Christian Worldview. We'd be grateful if you would consider supporting this nonprofit radio ministry. It makes it possible for us to stay on the air. We just had to make the hard decision to pull the program on four of the stations we launched on 18 months ago in Denver, Phoenix, Washington, D.C., and Atlanta. We just didn't receive enough listener support from these stations to keep up with our weekly cost of airtime. And it underscores how important it is that if you benefit from the Christian Worldview, that you consider a donation or becoming a Christian Worldview partner. Go to thechristianworldview.org or get in touch with us, and our information is given immediately following today's program. Let's remember Jesus' words: you must be born again by repenting and believing the gospel. And once saved, think biblically, live accordingly, and stand firm. The mission of the Christian Worldview is to sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. We hope today's broadcast encouraged you toward that end. To hear a replay of today's program, order a transcript, or find out what must I do to be saved, go to thechristianworldview.org or call toll-free 1-888-646-2233. The Christian Worldview is a listener-supported nonprofit radio ministry furnished by the Overcomer Foundation. To make a donation, become a Christian Worldview partner, order resources, subscribe to our free newsletter, or contact us, visit thechristianworldview.org, call 1-888-646-2233, or write to Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331. That's Box 401, Excelsior, Minnesota 55331. Thanks for listening to the Christian Worldview.